Bibles this morning and turn to the famous Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter number 1. Psalm chapter 1, we're going to find, of course, verse number 1 of Psalm 1. Once you find it, would you stand with me, please? Psalm chapter 1, verse number 1. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. We're going to read the entire chapter, this entire psalm. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." I'm going to preach a sermon to you this morning. It's called Get Planted. Get Planted. Father, bless us now with thy presence. Lord, I have prepared the best way I know how, but that is very minimal compared to the need of your involvement. So might you come in a supernatural way and do a supernatural work. May it be a lasting work, not a common work. Work in our hearts and in our lives. Father, use me as a tool to help your people. Holy Spirit of God, please. Might this be a unique service, and might you be glorified in it. Give me the attention of the people, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat there if you will. This is a famous psalm, Psalm chapter 1. Many people have read it and heard it and heard it read. I want you immediately to look at that word there, midway down where it uses the word planted. Planted. It says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." God wants you and I to be planted. And so, you know, when I looked at that word planted, that's not in reference to what we would call a wild tree. You know, at my house, once a week, another pine tree seems to want to come up. They're everywhere. This isn't an accidental tree. When God is talking about you and I being planted, it's on purpose. He's saying this is an on-purpose planting of a tree. Now, Psalm chapter 1 teaches us how to be prosperous. If you were listening to the scripture there, it said to us, it said that and whosoever and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So Psalm chapter 1 teaches you and I how to be prosperous. And God chooses to compare me and you to a tree. In Psalm 1:3, it says, "And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Now, a tree, so you know, cannot prosper unless it's planted. It's got to be planted. And that's a part of what God's telling us here. As Christians, you and I are to prosper. Our church, God wants our church to prosper. God wants your home to prosper. God wants the ministry in which you're involved to prosper. I think God wants you at work to prosper. I think God wants prosperity. Even in this sin-cursed world, God wants prosperity. But in this passage, and many of you have heard this passage preached on before, many, many times, there are five prerequisites to obtaining that success or that prosperity. So God compares me and you to a tree. He said, "Now I want you to prosper, but there are some things it's going to take for you to prosper, or there are prerequisites that are necessary for you to prosper." I'll point out those prerequisites to you very quickly. They're very clear in the scripture. The Bible says if you and I are going to prosper like we're supposed to, it says we're not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. It said there in Psalm 1:1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Now, that word blessed there would be somewhat equal to our word happy. or joyous is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You say, what does that mean? If you want to prosper, you shouldn't be seeking your counsel from the unsaved people. If you want to prosper as a Christian, you can't be seeking your counsel from backslidden Christians. That's not going to prosper you. I think there are way too many people that watch some talk show host on television or listen to him on the radio, and they don't even know Jesus as Savior, and they're sitting there just gobbling up everything that host is saying and virtually taking it as counsel. And I've got news for you. You're not going to have prosperity in your Christian life if you're listening to those psychologists and those people that are not scriptural counselors. You're not going to get what you need for prosperity. It's like this. If we're a tree and we're seeking counsel from the ungodly, it's almost like it's like making friendship with a termite. Now, if I'm a tree, I don't want to be getting my advice from a termite. It will hinder what God wants to be planted and successful. So that's one of the prerequisites. Another, the Bible tells us, do not stand in the way of sinners. In Psalm 1:1, it goes on to say, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now notice there's a progression here. Somebody was walking along and they were chatting with the ungodly, getting advice from the ungodly. Now it says they have stopped and they're standing. And this is not a good progression. I would have rather you just kept on moving. Now you're standing and you're getting a little more comfortable around the ungodly or around the sinner. So it says don't stand in the way of sinners. Now we're running with the wrong crowd, and that's going to hinder your prosperity. You didn't just get a little advice from them. Now you're standing around casually with them. Might I say to every business person here, get your business done. But be careful how many tight friendships in business you make with ungodly, unsaved, unspiritual people. And hey, I think every one of you young people, parents, I think our children ought to be kind to the lost. I think they ought to be kind to the backslidden, but I don't think they ought to be best friends with them. I don't really think they ought to be spending all their casual time with them. And so you say, why? Because God said if you're going to be planted and prosperous, you cannot stand in the way of sinners. You cannot counsel with the ungodly. Earlier, I said this thing of counseling with the ungodly is like getting counsel from a termite if you're a tree. Now, may I say, if you're a tree and you get to standing around with the sinners, you might as well invited a woodpecker to your branches. Because a lost person or a carnal person, as you fellowship with them and you spend all your time with them, they're going to hack away at the strength of your Christian life like a woodpecker. If any of you have ever seen the work of a woodpecker, they can get an awful lot done and they can make a lot of damage. What's happening? Your counsel and your friendships are going to hinder your planting, and it's going to hinder the prosperity that should come when you're planted. There's another prerequisite, a third one. It says, do not sit in the seat of the scornful. Oh, now, do you see the progression again? We were walking along. Then we got comfortable enough around these wrong kind of people that we got to standing around and fellowshipping and talking with them. Now it says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Wait a minute. We're not just casually standing after having taken a little stroll. We're now sitting. I mean, we're kicked back. We are comfortable with them. We're comfortable being around them. And who are they? These are the ungodly. These are the lost. Or these are the carnal Christian. So the progression's getting worse and worse. It was a casual walk. And then it was just a stand around. Now we're just sitting. But it says don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Now let me tell you. You are not going to be a planted, prosperous Christian if you're critical all the time. The Bible's talking about the scornful. You're not going to be planted that way. If you're a gossip, if you're a negative talker, if you practice evil and you are evil around people, what's going to happen? Well, you're hurting your ability to be stable. And God said, what I want for you is I want you to be like a tree. I want you to be planted, and once I get you planted, I can help you with your prosperity, but you're going to have to be careful that you don't get your counsel from the ungodly. You're going to have to be careful that you don't stand around in fellowship with the lost and the sinners. You're going to have to be careful then that you don't sit down and start developing an attitude to where you're critical and negative and gossipy. Look, folks, might I say, if you don't have anything good to say, just don't talk at all. But there's plenty of good to say. Look, there's plenty about Jesus and God and the church that could be said. But one of the prerequisites, prerequisite number three, is do not sit in the seat of the scornful. Oh, but wait a minute. These are not all do not prerequisites. There's a couple do prerequisites. He goes to number four. He said, now if you want to be a tree that's planted that then could be prosperous, we do delight in the Word of God. In Psalm 1:2 it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. The word law here would be like a synonym for the word Bible. So God is saying, if you want to be planted and you want to be prosperous, you need to delight in the Word of God. You say, what does that mean? Well, I think it would include reading it. You ought to read your Bible. You say, well, I don't understand all about the Bible. Nobody understands all about the Bible. But I will tell you this. I remember I used to get bronchitis some when I was growing up. My mom could tell you that. And there are times when she took me and they got an antibiotic to try to kick some of that out of my system. You know, I never said to my mom, well, Mom, I don't understand all the ingredients in this antibiotic. I was only a dumb 8-year-old. How in the world was I going to understand everything that was in that antibiotic? I didn't understand all about it. But you know what? It was good medicine, and I took it, though I did not understand it. And there's some of you who say, well, I don't understand all about the Bible. That's why I don't read it. Let me explain to you. It is a medicine that will help you, and you need to take the medicine of a daily dose of the Word of God, because it will strengthen and it will purify, and it also will help you with that dreaded nasty, sick sin that controls the Christian and ruins their life. You see, I'm to read the Bible. Hey, and I'm not just to read it, I'm to believe it. Say, you want me to believe all that? Oh, yes, I want you to believe all that. I want you to believe everything that is written in this book, because it was not written by man, it was written by God. People are so funny. They say, well, I don't believe the Bible. Then they believe everything they read on the internet. Or they believe everything that Hollyweird tells them. Oh, all it's got to do is come out on the news and everybody says, whoa, that really happened. I'll tell you what, I believe more that Jonah was swallowed by a whale, because the Bible says so, than half the trash that comes out of Hollywood and half the stuff that they say. Hey, they are constantly playing with our minds, using the media to do so. And so you understand, the media is liberal and the media is always twisting things. I would rather delight in the Word of God. And it is one of the prerequisites to being planted, so that you might have prosperity. We're to read the Bible. We're to believe the Bible. We're to live by the Bible. And teach the Bible to your children. Some of you need to get the Bible and get it on your iPod or on your telephone so you could hear it read to you. If you need, get a CD and pop it in your CD player and listen to the Word of God. It'll change your life. Now remember, God came along in Psalm 1:1 and He said, I'd like you to be blessed. What is that? Happy. I'd like you to be planted so that you can be prosperous. He said, I'll give you some prerequisites to accomplish that. He said, first of all, don't counsel with the ungodly. He said, secondly, don't stand around fellowshipping with the sinners and the carnal Christian that don't care about God. He said, thirdly, don't get yourself to where you're critical all the time and you're a gossip and you're a bad mouth and you're a backbiter and you're evil. Don't get your life to that point. He said, then make sure you put the Word of God into your mind. Read your Bible and listen to the Word of God and believe it. Have faith in the Word of God. Let the Word of God change your life. Hey, and then believe it and live it. Then he said, another do. And this is the last of the five prerequisites, number five. He said, do meditate in the Bible day and night. He said in Psalm chapter 1, verse number 2, it says, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. There's prerequisite number 5 to being planted and prosperous. In all actuality, this thing of meditating, and it's almost an unheard of art anymore. People don't really, really meditate much anymore. I preached a sermon, I think it was last Wednesday night, in our series on growth, where I talked about concentration. It's hard to get people to concentrate anymore. You know, preachers today almost have to make their sermons about the same length as a sitcom so that people can sit still, because they're used to sitting still for 30 minutes and that's it. That's all they can handle. You wouldn't have lasted very well in the preachers of the last generation when they were preaching 2 and 2.5 and 3 hour sermons. But we're so spoiled out of from that which is from Hollyweird. Well, we have a problem. We can't concentrate. But let me tell you, God said, if you want to be planted and if you want to be prosperous, one of the prerequisites is then to meditate on that very same Word of God in which you were delighting, which you were reading, which you were believing, which you were living. Meditate on it. Now, if you've never heard it, I believe that this is talking about someone taking the Word of God into themselves and letting it just become a part of them. And you know, every once in a while, letting something that you've been taught or that you read or that you heard preached, let it come back up. Let it come back into your mind. Let it be kicked back into the forefront of your thinking and think about it all over again. Boy, would I be delighted as a pastor. Boy, would I be delighted as a preacher if I thought I could preach a sermon and you heard it today and then you thought about it on Tuesday. Oh, that would be so delightful. I'd be getting more bang for my buck. It would be going so well. And then if you thought about it a week later, and then a month later, then you thought about it a year later, did you know something? We would be such better Christians if we wouldn't just listen to the preaching, but we would walk away and meditate on what we heard. You all are going to find out when you don't concentrate, when you don't meditate, you're planting a seed, but the roots are not real, real deep. Meditation deepens the doctrine, and meditation deepens the principles. Meditation deepens the belief of the Christian. Now, you want to be planted? You better meditate. You say, what am I going to do? When you get planted, you're deepening through meditation your roots into your Christian life. A cow has more than one stomach. A cow will get out here and start chewing some alfalfa or chewing some grass, chew it up, squeeze some juice out of that, get some of the nutrients out of it, then the cow swallows it. It goes into the digestive system, and the digestive system starts squeezing it. But you know what happens? That cow can regurgitate that alfalfa. It'll kick it back up, and he starts chewing it again. And he gets more out of it. He can swallow it again and then bring it back up. You say, that's gross. I agree. I'm glad I'm not a cow, but I'm even more glad I'm not alfalfa. But that is exactly what God is saying to you and I. He said, I want you to take the Word of God, take it in, chew on it, think about it, concentrate on it, tuck it in yourself, go to work on Monday, kick it back up, think about it while you're driving to work. You say, oh, I got to concentrate on driving. You don't concentrate on driving while you're driving. You're texting, listening to the radio, and making hand signals to the people driving around beside you and everything. I've got news for you. We have plenty of time, folks, where you and I could be kicking the Word of God back out to where we could re-squeeze it and get more nutrients out of it. But that is what meditation is. Hey, think beyond today with today's sermon. Let it help you. I'm amazed. People say, I'll tell you what, preacher, that sermon helped me. Guess what? If it helped you on Sunday, it'll probably help you some more on Monday, and help you some more on Tuesday, and help you some more on Wednesday. What would be wrong with thinking about it again? Now, God said, I want you to be planted. And then God said, I want you to prosper. He said, but there are five prerequisites to really being properly planted and properly prospering. He said, don't get your counsel from the ungodly. Don't stand around in fellowship with the sinners and the carnal Christian. Don't set and find yourself being critical, a gossip. Don't be evil. Don't be a backbiter. Don't be a scorner. Get into the Word of God. Believe it. Delight in it. Read it. Live it. Then meditate on what you read, what you believe, what you delight. Then, he said in Psalm 1:3, he makes his promise. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Wow. A tree by a river soaks up all sorts of water, which helps them to be prosperous. Now you say, I want to prosper in my Christianity. Make sure you're working on the five prerequisites. Those are going to help you. But there's a tree. It's planted by the rivers of water. A prosperous Christian is not easily moved by Satan and his lies. When you meditated, you were deepening your roots. There's some of you, the Bible would say this, you're a little bit blown about by every wind of doctrine. You know, you hear something on TV, you know, preacher mess him up or whatever you want to call him. He says something, you say, oh, I believe that. And it's not true at all. But because you've not done the five prerequisites, you're kind of floaty when it comes to what you believe. A prosperous Christian is stable. They're a tree planted by the rivers of water. They're solid. A prosperous Christian has deep roots. A prosperous Christian can handle the storms well. You know, it's time for some of you to get planted. You need to get planted. Get planted. Stay put. Get your roots deep. Sink your roots deep. And might I say, be careful that you don't run from all the issues of life. Why don't you just anchor down and decide that with God's help you're going to fix them? Can I tell you something? If you run from the issues of life, you say, I'll just relocate. You know, you're taking your problems with you. You do realize that, right? We need to get planted. Now, that little study is not the sermon. Let me practically apply this thought of becoming planted. I want to recommend something to you. I'm not as old as my hair makes me look. But I've seen a lot of things in life, and I've been around a lot of people, and I've counseled people by the thousands. And through my study of the Word of God and through the study of people, there's some things I can tell you that I think, if you'll listen to me, I can help you. You take, for instance, I think some of you need to get planted. I think you need to get planted with your employment. Get a job. Keep a job. Did you know that job hopping continually is not a good thing? Say, I got a long resume. That is not necessarily great. I got experience in 27 different areas of life. To the young people, let me say to you, when I was growing up, the goal was to go get a job and get what's called seniority and try to work at it and build a reputation there and get a future there. Get planted. For some of you, need to get planted in regard to a job. Find a job that will help you and let you serve God. Get planted. When I went to Bible college and I got a job and I planted myself at that job and it kept me from being frustrated. You know, every time you change jobs, it is just a frustrating thing. You got to relearn all the people and you got to relearn how to do this and how to do that. You all remember, it's not been very many weeks ago, I came to you and told you a man that I used to work for when I was in Bible college, when he found out that we were trying to buy a new building, wrote our church a $50,000 check, and he said, I'll help you. Where'd that come from? I was planted at work when I was a teenager, just out of high school. I was planted there. He knew it. You know, the boss doesn't give you a $50,000 check when you were the wishy-washy one that was in and out, and maybe you're going to stay, maybe you're not, and you're not loyal to the boss. Or not. Now, I realize that there are job changes that are inevitable. I realize that happens. I'm not counseling right now, but I am telling you this. I grew up in the generation where you tried to get a job and you tried to stay there. You just kind of, that's just how it was. Whatever happened to people wanting to be faithful? I think that's how it ought to be. Get planted. God said, I want you to be planted. Being planted brings prosperity. We're going to see what happens. I bought my wife some flowers at the beginning of the spring. I can't tell you all the names of them, but I had this one pot of plants. It was a hanging basket, and it was gorgeous. I loved it. I bought it at a farm stand on Highway 17 East, just on your way down to Havelock. There's a big farm stand on the right. Gorgeous, gorgeous flowers. I mean, they're just full. I bought it and I brought it home and I hung it where it was going to be hung and I thought I was watering it right. And the next thing you know, that thing just about died out. And so I was working on it because I mow the grass. I've been thinking about getting a goat, but they won't let you have a goat in Greenbrier. And so... But I mowed the grass and I'd watch that thing. It just about died. And there's like two blooms left and it was all shriveled up. And I tried everything I could to get it to come back to life. And finally, that thing came back to life. You pray for me. I transplanted it this morning. I moved it from one spot to another spot. But you know what usually happens when I transplant plants? They die. Why? You tear up its roots. You shock it. You move it. That's why some of you need to get planted. Anybody here that has ever made a job change will tell you, it's hard on you. It's a shock. And so what am I saying? If you can find a place to work and go to work there and try to stay there, and you say, well, there are people there that are jerks. No place you're going to get a job that the people aren't jerks. I mean, they're everywhere. But get planted in regard to work. Let me say, get planted. How about the place where you live? Try to find a place to live so you can stay there and live there. The average person today is a nomad. Here a while, there a while. Find a place to rent that you feel comfortable if you're going to rent, and go there. And try to work it out so you can stay there. Don't jump all over the place. Slow down when you're picking where you're going to live. Think about it before you move there. And it's inevitable. There are people that go from renting to purchasing, and sometimes people they face financial reversals. Therefore, that maybe they have to sell their home and go back to a rental situation. But I am telling you this: sooner or later, you need to get planted. I don't think God intended for us to just go everywhere all the time and never stable. People say, well, I want my family to be stable. Then find the right place to be and go there and plant yourself there. It's like when you pull up that plant, you shock it. And so many times things begin to die because there's just a change that takes place. So what am I saying? When it comes to a job, it's probably a good idea to get planted. When it comes to a place to live, try to get yourself planted. Not only that, I think with a church. I think it's a good idea. Find a church and get yourself planted. You say, our church has flaws. Yeah, and you're one of them, just so you know. You're busy saying, well, that other person's his problem. They're looking at you saying, yeah, you're the problem. What we need is we need consistent influence. I believe this. I believe there are times when people have to leave churches. I think when churches go south doctrinally, I think changes are necessary. I think when churches lose their old-time standards, I think changes are necessary. But it's not because you can't get along with somebody else about the mashed taters that were left in the church fridge. Way too many people want to jump out of their church because of personality conflict, and God never intended for it to be that way. I see so many people out there, they're just like bunnies. They're church hopping everywhere. Find the church that God would have you, and not the church of your choice. Go to the church that believes the Bible, that'll preach the Bible, that believes right, and get yourself planted there. You know, you'll build better friendships that way. You'll do much better that way. I promise you, you will. I think changes can be necessary when there's doctrinal issues. I think changes can be necessary when there's issues in regard to separation from the world. But a lot of other things are just silly little things that we ought to get over. But look, get planted. Get planted. There's nothing like having a place that you call home when it comes to the place where you live. There's nothing like being at a job and feeling like, this is my job. I have a job. There's nothing like saying, this is my church. I have a church. May I recommend that you get planted? If you're married, may I recommend you get planted in your marriage? What do you mean? You're not going anywhere? That's your wife. That's your husband. This is how it's going to stay. Get planted. Do you know you do better when you've decided you're going to hang in there? Say, but wonder if hardship comes. Get planted. Get planted. Mrs. Owens, when we got married, we took vows for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. We were oblivious to what that meant. Why? Because we were in love. We were going to live on love. Man, you can't eat love. Now we've been married for 34 years and we understand a little bit what it means in sickness and in health, for better and for worse. We understand for richer and poorer. Can I tell you something that will help your marriage last longer? If your mate knows, you're staying. I'm staying here. You don't have to worry. And look, get yourself planted. I think there's too many threats in marriage. You know, children need parents that are planted. They just need children that are planted. Hey, so I recommend to you this. Find a church that God would have you in and plant yourself there. Find that place for you to live and do your best to plant yourself there. Get you a job and say, that's my job, and make sure it's the right one. It's the one where you can serve God, but plant yourself there in marriage. Hey, and so you know, you young people that aren't married, don't get married if you think jumping out of your marriage later on is supposed to be an option. Get in and stay in. And we know it doesn't always work out that way, but let me tell you, when you find the right person and you marry them, just decide, I'm in, I'm planted. Now, some of you need to do some planning when it comes to your emotions and your thinking. God is good all the time. And that's not just some cute quip for you to repeat when the preacher says, God is good, and you all say, all the time. Some of you need to get that into your emotional being. Get planted. Stop doubting the goodness of God. Stop doubting that our God is a good God. Listen, emotionally, it's time for some of you to plant your belief and your faith in the fact that God is good all the time. And when you're going through a hardship, you just got to believe God's good. Something else. Emotionally, it's time for some people to plant themselves in regard to the belief that God will never place more upon you than you can handle. I am so glad a long time ago I seen what the Bible said, that God is fair and just, and that God will never overload me emotionally, and whatever God puts on me, He will also give me the strength to go through it. Which means this, I've gone into every burden and every heartache and every trial that I've ever faced knowing I could do it. Now, was it pleasant? No. Was it easy? No. But I went into it having already emotionally established a principle from the Word of God that God's fair, and if He gave it to me, He'll give me the strength to make it through it. And there are some of you need to get yourself planted about your emotions and realize God's good all the time. Realize God won't put anything on you that He will not give you the strength to handle, and settle that. Some of you need to, you're going to mess yourselves up unless you learn how to love your enemies. Because you're going to have them. Better learn how to love your enemy. That's an emotional thing. I am so glad. Look, I would be a mess right now. I would be evil. I would be nasty. I would be vile if I had not determined a long time ago that I needed to learn how to love my enemies. Why? Because when everybody else is being nasty and mean and hateful and destructive, I decided it's my job to love people. And I decided that a long, long time ago. And I needed to decide it when I wasn't in the battle. You say, why? Because if I would have tried to make up my mind about loving my enemy in the battle, I would have chosen not to, and I would like to knock their teeth down their throat. Just like you. But I decided, I established my emotions, I planted myself, and I said, I will love my enemy. When the hardship comes, I'm not making a decision other than to obey what I've decided. Get planted emotionally. Hey, listen. Heaven's real. Heaven's real. Some of you need to accept that by faith. Emotionally, you need to accept that. I think of Cynthia and the girls. That hope chest, it was here at the homegoing service of Richard the other day. That wasn't him. He was in heaven. He's there today. I believe there's a place called heaven. That's it. And I hurt when I lose somebody that I love, but I have tremendous hope. People, it's kind of neat. People will come to a funeral, and it's not, our funerals are not real morbid. You don't have a bunch of people freaking out and panicking. You say, why? Because we believe there's a heaven. And though we're going to hurt, and I've cried tears, and not as many as they have, because they lost daddy and lost a husband. They've cried tears, but we're going to see him again someday. And there's some of you, you need to get it in your heart and in your mind. You need to plant yourself on the belief that there is a place called heaven. There's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith, we can see it afar. And the Father waits over the way. And he's preparing a dwelling place there for me and for you. And there's some of you, you miss your loved ones. And rightfully so, but know this, if they were born again, you'll see him again someday. People, we need to get ourselves planted emotionally. You know, you don't have to have a nervous breakdown. Cancel it. The Holy Spirit of God is big enough to help you through it. Listen, be planted in where you live. Be planted in a job. Be planted in church. Be planted with your emotions. Be planted in your marriage. Folks, if you want stability, if you want to be a tree planted by the water that prospers, God said, you got to sink those roots. And that's not taught much anymore. I remember growing up and men bragging about, got 45 years in down at GM or Ford or Dodge or whatever you like. And they were so proud of that fact. And I know things change and times change, and sometimes you don't have a choice. But somewhere in my thinking, I think scripturally, God would like to see us hang in there and make some things long-term in our lives. I think some of you need to get yourself planted doctrinally. Doctrinally. Now, for instance, I believe the King James Bible is the inspired, preserved Word of God. I think it's the Word of God for the English-speaking people in this generation. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, then what I'd do is I'd find you a church that believes the Bible you believe as dogmatically as we believe the Bible that we believe. You ought to believe in something. You need to get yourself planted about it. Being wishy-washy, constantly debating that thing is not going to get you anywhere. Get planted about your belief in the Word of God. I think some of you need to get planted about your belief in separation from the world. We're not supposed to be like this world. It's just the way it is. I think some of you need to get yourself planted in regard to the understanding that salvation, it's a free gift. And once you get it, God said that it's yours and you can't lose it. You say, you mean to tell me you don't think you can lose your salvation? You guessed her, Chester. Once you get it, it's yours. Now, you might lose some blessing along the way and you might lose some rewards, but one thing you won't lose. If you really trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you're saved, and that's an eternal, and that is an everlasting salvation. You say, I don't believe that way. Well, I'd like for you to believe the Bible, but if you're not going to believe that way, find some place that believes the way you believe. But I'm planted in what I believe. I know what I believe. I'm a Baptist. This is a Baptist church. I'm planted on that. Hey, did you know that Baptist was not John's last name? I'm planted. I believe the Holy Spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit of God still works today. But I don't believe it is a misuse of languages. No, I believe the Holy Spirit of God comforts us and helps us, but he doesn't cause you to go out and act sporadically and some wacky behavior, and I don't believe that. I know what I believe about the Holy Spirit. I believe in the old time religion, but I'm planted in that. I'm planted in that. Some of you need to get yourself planted doctrinally, planted in a place to live, planted in church, planted at work, planted with your family. You say, why? Because the winds and the storms and the devil and life is going to throw things at you, and you say, I want to hang in there. I want to be strong. The only people that will be strong when the winds of life hit them are the ones that are planted. He said, I want you planted. I believe that we ought to be planted. Do you know when you get to heaven, you'll be planted? When you get to heaven, you won't be cast out ever. God said, once I get you there, I'm going to keep you there. Long term. For some of you, the first time you ever had seniority at anything. You get ants in your pants in heaven, God's going to say, you're not going anywhere.
You're going to stay.
Why? Planted. Planted. I was telling some folks this morning. Said, I want to die here. I want to grow old here. I want to be planted here. When you take a plant, when Mrs. Owens and I, when in the will of God, God moved us here, she brought some plants with her. She's got these flowers. They're called red hot pokers. They're these big, fancy flowers. She just loves them. So when we moved, she said, I'm taking those with us. So we dug them up, and I put them in the ground here. Can I tell you something? The first year, they didn't bloom. Matter of fact, we thought they were dead. But then after about 12, 14 months, I think the plants said, you know, it looks like this is my new home. I'll bloom. And then they did. They didn't bloom, but they didn't bloom for a whole year. Why? The shock of the move. The shock. Hey, look, can I recommend something to you? If you're going to be in the Twin Rivers Baptist Church, could I recommend to you that you plant your heart here? See, there's some of you, your body's here, but your heart's not. You're looking for the first chance you can get to hit the road, Jack. You want to be strong? Plant yourself somewhere. Stop looking for every opportunity to run off, go somewhere else, do something else, find somebody else, get another one, plant yourself. Is that too much consistency for you? Does that require too much character and integrity? But the Scripture, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But you understand, the Bible says the ungodly are not that way. It says the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Blown about, unstable. God is saying, you gotta anchor down. Anchor down, Christian. Which means you gotta stop making so many decisions emotionally. You say, well, under these circumstances, what are you doing under the circumstances? Unstable, unplanted people don't develop strength. They're wishy-washy. Here a while, there a while. Again, that plant that I planted here, when it came up this year, she was delighted. It was blooming. It was bringing forth the fruit. Now, do you know that people are not committed to their church or committed to proper doctrine? They're very slow in bringing forth fruit. Very slow. Plant yourself, Christian. Doctrinally plant yourself. And the other little tidbits of just advice with your job, with your house, in your marriage, believe me, the planted issue makes for strong, stable, productive, and prosperous people. I call the sermon, Get Planted. Get Planted. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as Savior, I can highly recommend Him. You ought to ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Savior. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. If I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. Pray for me. I need to be saved. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I need to be born again. Who here could say, Preacher, I am saved. I have trusted Christ as my Savior, and I know I'm born again. Would you let God see your hand and raise your hand to the sky? God bless you. You may put those hands down. There's some area of life, maybe God has spoken to you today. And remember, my sermon was not to specifically counsel anybody. There are job changes that are necessary. There are times when church changes are necessary. There are times when home changes are necessary. I'm advising you, as best you can, get yourself planted. It will bring more prosperity and security to your life. I'm 100% sure of that. But who here would say, I believe God has spoken to my heart. There's some wavering in some areas, and I need to get myself more deeply planted. Maybe it's a transfer of heart, not just body. And who would say, yes, God spoke into my heart in the sermon this morning. And there are hands up everywhere. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, I just know there are people with burdens and heartaches. We're going to have an altar call. There are men I've asked you to pray for our building and some other things. But let me say, if you need this altar, if you need to come and say, God, give me strength to get planted in some areas. Maybe you need help with decisions of life. The altar will be open. And if you need to come and pray, you certainly may. And if you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need the altar, you come. You come. Come and pray and say, God, give me wisdom. I need wisdom about this in my life or that in my life. And God, I need to get planted with something. Maybe there's issues of life that you need to work on. Young people, when you choose to get married, make sure you're going to get married to somebody that you can be planted with. You say, I think I would like to be married to that person the rest of my life. That's what you're looking for. That's what you're looking for. Get planted. When the changes of life come upon you, okay, you face them. But make it so you in your heart are saying, boy, I want that place to live where I can grow old. I want that church where we can see the whole program develop. The stability for my children. Get your emotions planted in the fact that God is good, and your faith invested in the fact that God won't give you more than you can handle, and your belief in the fact that you are to love your enemy so you're not violent and vile when you face the hardships of life, and that heaven is real, and you don't have to crack up emotionally. God and His Holy Spirit will give you the strength to do what needs to be done. Settle yourself doctrinally. Stop listening to every little Tom, Dick, and Harry that comes along preaching doctrine. And learn what's right and stick with it. Get yourself planted. But the Bible says the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Thank you, Rachel.